Hi, I'm Felipe Nasi, and you listen to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. We're qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Faub, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 544, January 5th, 2012. Steven?
This F1Weekly podcast is brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads get you the stuff you want, need, desire, have to have today. Click on I'm YouTube.
Thank you, Steven. On today's program, not rain, cut the can. Still looking to be on the grid for 2012. Williams loses title sponsorship from AT&T and the FIA making adjustments to said rules. And of course, Motorsports Mondial with the Karachi Kid and donation thank you to Gabriel. Keep up the good work, Mr. K. Steven, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Standing. It's the new year. Had a nice vintage car drive on the first of the year, leaving Sausalito, going up Highway 1 towards Stinson Beach, and the vintages out and about while everybody was at home suffering.
On force.
Yes, it was wonderful, and we're hoping 2012 brings more love and friendship to F1 Weekly, and may we prosper and become the entity we really want to become.
Well, if AT&T's left Williams, maybe we can get them.
That would be great. AT&T F1 Weekly.
Or F1 Weekly brought to you by AT&T.
Sounds good. I'm going to call them immediately. Of course, that would have to be a collect call, Steve. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, yes, Williams losing their huge deal with telecommunications giant AT&T. Of course, they're the biggest telecommunications company in the United States, and they were the title sponsor for Williams since 2007. And a couple of days ago, I was on the Williams website doing some research, and of course, it's AT&T everywhere. They've been called AT&T Williams for 5 years, and of course, that's all been removed overnight.
They didn't jump ship, did they?
No, they haven't jumped ship, but when a company like Williams has their worst season ever, you're going to lose sponsorship.
Yeah, it doesn't help, even though you're bringing in new engines next year.
Correct, with Renault coming in, but I think they're still working on that big Middle Eastern deal, and we'll see what happens. Still very, very tough for Williams, and there's rumors that they are working with another telecommunications company, possibly from the Middle East as well, and of course, the moment I've been waiting for, the reason that I've been waiting for the press releases to come out of Williams is what's going on with Rubinho.
Exactly. The other thing that probably didn't help them with AT&T was the fact that there hadn't been any races in the States for 2/3 or 3/5 of the contract. And it doesn't do them a lot of good. I know they've got holdings overseas, but since their biggest market's here in the States, not good.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a tough road ahead for Williams. They've got to find some cash, and it's going to make it hard for Rubinho unless he brings some money to the table.
Definitely.
And that's why I'm sure Adrian Sutil is looking sweeter and sweeter with his Medion computer.
His Medion money.
Yeah, of course, a German company. So there you have it. Tough set of circumstances for Williams, but I am sure that they will survive. The FIA's come out, Stephen. Our friends.
Rules on top of the new rules?
No, actually, this is a good one. I thought this was necessary because we had spoken about this a few months ago and we thought it was a bit vague when they were talking about the drivers saying they would not be allowed to move back into the racing line after having moved off it to defend their position one time. And this week, the FIA has issued a new sporting regulation which states that a driver, in fact, will be allowed to move back onto the racing line, but leaving enough room between their car and the edge of the track when approaching corners, Stephen.
So actually what they've done is basically said that if you move off the racing line to defend, you may not be able to take the best line into the corner because you've got to leave that space.
Not only that, yes. In other words, you are not going to block your position, even if it means you'll lose the race on the last corner of the last lap, Stephen.
Yeah, bump him off the track.
So, I don't know. It's getting a little
too politically... It looked like it was wide enough to me.
It's getting a little too politically correct for me.
Yeah, it comes down to, you know, You know, so many of the penalties, you have two cars come in conflict on the track these days, and somebody feels that they have to give somebody a penalty.
I know.
Even, you know, when it's likely just a racing incident, it's like, it's racing, for goodness sakes. Cars are going to touch every once in a while. Someone's not going to be making the smartest move. And the fact that you've taken away practice, you know, any kind of practice during the season, yeah.
I know. It's not Dijon 79 now.
Exactly.
And of course, to be clear, it says that more than one chain direction to defend a position is verboten. Any driver moving back towards the racing line, having earlier defended his position offline, should leave at least one car width between his own car and the edge of the track on the approach to the corner.
It's racing. It's what the heck? It's racing. Forget it. Let's legislate out, you know, racing.
There you go. Keep up good work, Stephen. And as I stated at the top of the show, Nahrain Karthikeyan once again refuses to go down. And, it's absolutely amazing. He believes that he may have a shot at racing alongside Pedro de la Rosa, of course, over at HRT. And, of course, he still thinks that he might have a shot at the Williams seat. Maybe he could bring in some money. Let's not forget, Karthikeyan made his F1 debut for Jordan in 2005. And, of course, his best career finish was fourth, Stephen.
Wow.
At the United States Grand Prix. Sacré bleu tous les jours.
Frankly, best finish ever, fourth, asterisk.
Well, fourth is fourth, Steve.
Yep. It was a Formula One race after all.
And all those guys wussed out.
Yep.
Just because Ralph Schumacher.
Just because Toyota was underinflating their tires.
Yes, and Ralph Schumacher kept smacking the wall. That whole thing really left a sour taste in my mouth. And I didn't blame Michelin. I blamed it all on Ralph Schumacher.
Or Toyota in general, because they were basically the ones that were causing the tire problems by improper use.
There you go, Steven. But still, Karthikeyan, very persistent. It's almost impressive.
You got to give him your kudos for, you know, at least trying to stick to it. Stick-to-itiveness.
Stick-to-itiveness, Steve. Does that exist?
Yeah. Now he should be back in India, you know, promoting motor racing.
Well, I think he will be back in India promoting motor racing. Mercedes, they will miss the first round of testing, February 7th through the 10th, in Jerez, in order to spend extra time on developing. I think that's legit.
Yeah, the one thing I would say is, do you really want to miss that track time?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm surprised that they just don't bust out the old car to test the new tires.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Pirellis are going to be a little bit different in 2012.
Yeah, at the very least, I'm sure you could throw a couple aero bits on the old chassis, just to see how they work.
Exactly, and get Nico happy again.
Yeah, and not only that, but it's also an opportunity to put your drivers on track and let them just get back in the groove of driving a car.
Yes, because over the holidays, you know, there's not much grooving.
Well, look at poor Fernando, you know. It's
I know.
Complete upheaval in his life.
Well, you know, but he was getting rid of her anyway. But, yeah, Nico Rosberg, he believes that the new technical structure of the team, including the arrivals of Jeff Willis and Aldo Costa, of course, from Ferrari, will ensure that the late start does not have a negative effect on the team's early season form.
Yeah, well, not only that, but Mike Schumacher needs as much seat time as he can get.
No, I think he's going to be fine. This year, he says, this is Nico speaking, we would not have managed to do the first race if we had run the car that late. But with the way the factory is now optimized and efficient, I am confident that we can quite happily make it happen, and the car can race very soon after the first test. So there you have it. No, I expect Mercedes to improve quite a bit this year, Stephen.
Yeah, me too. You know, it's, what, third year with Braun at the helm? It's Michael Schumacher's final year of his contract, so he's going to be maybe pushing a little harder to either get a new one or to go out with a, you know, a good positive in his mouth.
Yes, I mean, you know, he's 41. There's limits to how long he could stay, really, physically.
It's a brutal thing to do. It's not... It's a lot of G's.
So, no, I expect, like you said, I think Schumacher and Mercedes and Ross Brawn are going to try to get maybe some wins under his belt and show that he has helped the team develop, and now he could step aside and let some of these young drivers come in.
Yeah, I'd like to see Michael Schumacher take a role at Mercedes next year, if, you know, kind of maybe as an assistant director.
Yeah, just but to, we said that about Michael Schumacher at Ferrari, and that's really not his bag.
No, but it would be nice to see him. It would be interesting to watch him run a team.
It would be. It would be very Teutonic.
No, but, you know, he has that skill set with dealing with a team and getting the best out of the people he works with. I think he would make a good principal.
Yes, and I think it would be interesting to see that. Also, of course, Red Bull, Adrian Newey coming out saying that it's going to be a big challenge, but they expect to be right on top of things, even though no more blow diffuser, no more...
No, they've probably already come up with some other new trick.
That's true.
Stretching rules.
And that's what makes it fun, is the new tricks that they come up with when other rules are...
Take away what they're using now.
Exactly. Forgive my pause there, but... right, exactly. And that's what makes Formula One so exciting, is what they come up with when other rules are negated or canceled out.
Yep.
It certainly is very, very fascinating.
And Newey and his team have been so far. I think the only person that's actually outdone them was Honda Braun, when they were able to basically create the devil and stay within the rules. Because that was the only, you know, frankly, if Ruta and Sebastian Vettel don't tangle up in Australia that year that Braun wins the championship, it would have been a lot closer.
Yeah. And speaking of Robert Kubica, I'm really disappointed that we really don't hear very much about him, except that we just recently found out he has fired his physical therapist. Some people called him the doctor, but I think it was just his physical therapist. And apparently there was a clash in recovery times and what he was doing.
Mm.
So, but still, I'd like to know what's going on. He needs to have a press conference.
Right. Does he have a personal website?
Everybody has a personal website.
Maybe he's putting updates there.
I doubt it, but still, I'll check. Keep up the good work, Stephen, for keeping an open mind. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We've got a great Motorsports Mondial news on Dakar, WRC, and everything else. So we'll be back after this brief message. Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you. Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king of Karachi himself, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and 2012 regards. AT&T rings up the new year by hanging up on Williams. Robbie Gordon is dialing in for a win in the Dakar Rally. And Romeo is on a conference call with potential sponsors, singing an old motorsports classic, Loan Me a Dime. One of your favorites?
It is one of my favorites.
Absolutely. And more on this later in the show for sure. The world revolves around money, so we shall start with money matters. Ma Bell is telling Frank Williams, here's a dime, call someone who cares. The five-year deal between AT&T and Williams is over by mutual agreement, according to the party line. The team also lost Philips, the big Dutch electrical firm, and Royal Bank of Scotland previously. They are reported to be talking to another telco. Wonder if that could be Alcatel, or could be Cisco, you never know. And also hoping to land big bucks from National Bank of Qatar. History may be repeating itself. In the late 70s, it was Arab money, mainly from Saudi Airlines, the airline of Saudi Arabia, that put the team on a winning path. They are also rejoining forces with Renault. Maybe it's time to put a Prost in the car. Nicolas Prost is available, and according to Alain, he is faster than Papa. Nice to have your dad as your PR agent, let me tell you that. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
I think it's fascinating, but he might be faster than his papa, but only Romanian Dacia.
Yes, which is owned by Renault, if I'm not mistaken.
Indubitably.
There you go. Who do you think should go into the seat at Williams? Who would you like to see?
It's going to have to be Adrian Sutil. He's the most qualified. It's the most logical conclusion, unless Rubinho can get... and outbid Adrian Sutil.
But if money was not an issue, would you prefer Sutil or Barrichello?
Sutil. Yeah, we got to get somebody younger in there who's hungry. You know, and I don't deny that I'm sure Rubinho is very hungry, but he's hungry for Brazilian cooking.
Some tapas?
Yeah, and you know, he can say that, you know, things were not in his favor at Ferrari, but he had one chance to win the championship at Braun. And then Jenson Button, you know, drank all his Brazilian coffee. So such is life. Okay, WRC news. Me will race in WRC, but only with one entry full time. Driver will be Danny Sorrow, who used to be with Citroën. The second car of Chris Meek will be on the HRT program. Bring money and buy a ride. Maybe we can see Naren Karthikeyan in WRC also.
Well, I heard they're going to put a coin slot now on the side of the car.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you just bring a lot of change.
Feed it cougar ends.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The mini cars are prepared by David Richards of ProDrive, and apparently there is some heat or tension between ProDrive and parent company of Mini, which is BMW, as they call them in Munich, or BMW, as they call them in California. Let's hope this does not end like the Williams and BMW love affair. You remember what happened there.
Yes, no, I agree with you. And the good news is the Monte Carlo rally is coming back to WRC.
It's very good. It's one of my favorites, like the East African Safari Rally. Talking of Mini, they are doing very good in the Dakar Rally. At the end of the day on Wednesday, which is when we are recording this, there were four Minis in the top six, with Stefan Peter Hensel leading over the Toyota of Janiel De Veers, who is from South Africa. Robbie Gordon, the finest from Orange County, in a Hummer was fifth. His teammate and last year's winner, Nasser Al-Attiyah, is seventh after four stages. The opening day of the event on January 1 was marred by the death of local rider, 38-year-old Jorge Martinez Puero. The rally will end on January 15th in Lima, Peru. Do you think this will ever go back to African continent?
I think it could one day, yes. But everything's got to come together.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting. It was started as a Paris to Dakar rally, then it became the Dakar rally. And in many cases, it was finishing, this final destination was anything but Dakar.
Correct.
It had even once ended in Sharm el-Sheikh in Egypt, which is a big tourist resort. So interesting. And, you know, just some late-breaking news on the web just before I took my seat is that Mercedes parent company has basically returned the last shareholding they had in the McLaren team.
Aha! Which is a sign of things to come.
Yes, absolutely.
And could this possibly open the door for a Honda motor?
Honda motor or a McLaren? You never know.
Yeah,
but I have a feeling that in a couple of years they'll have something other than Mercedes. And, you know, I was listening to, very rarely I do that now. Just, you know, we're all getting older. I don't want to rattle your cage.
And I'm easily rattled.
I know that. Just to get a season review, I was listening to another podcast.
I'm stunned, Nasser.
That was a guy by the name of David Croft. He said something very interesting about Lewis Hamilton and the season he had. He said last season, if he was not with Cole, he was with Massa, which I thought was pretty interesting observation.
Or if he was not touching Nicole, he was touching Massa.
I don't know. Yeah.
Literally.
You never know.
You never know.
And also talking of Lewis Hamilton, he has apparently done a Jacques Villeneuve record, a couple of RB tunes.
You know, I heard that.
But he's not going to release. He's going to be listening. And I'm thinking, what could it be like standing in the shadows of love, waiting for the heartache to come? Or would it be, you give me nothing but heartache?
Well, you know, I always see there's always a breakup and then an album comes out.
Or maybe it's as Papa was a Rolling Stone because he rolled over to Paul DiResta's pit.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
You never know. Now that he has a lot of money, new bags are seen every weekend. Okay, we shall move on to motor racing. British F3 News, 19-year-old Felix Sirayas from Ponce in Puerto Rico will race in British F3 this season with Mercedes Power and Fortec Motorsports. Last season, he raced with the same team in Formula Renault Euro Cup and finished 12th, which was won by a friend of F1 Weekly, Mr. Robin Friends from Holland, and he has not yet confirmed what series he will be in. He might be in GP3, he might be in World Series by Renault, but I'm going to tell you something, man. World Series by Renault is getting to be a serious, like a kitchen.
Yeah.
You know, Hell's Angel kitchen.
It's not Freedom Fries over there.
No. They got Alexander Rossi, most probably, Felipe Nasr, who won the British F3, Kevin Magnussen, who won the same number of races as Felipe in British F3, and also Will Stevens, who has a very good karting record. He's coming there, and if Robin Friends jumps in, it's going to be... This will be a really, really test of whoever comes out on top with this heavy talent is going to be...
World Series by Renault is the one to watch.
Is that right? Wow. Why do you say that?
Because Renault always wins.
Yeah, it's very good. You know, in terms of cost, it's like $1 million for World Series by Renault. And GP2 now with the car is about $2.5 to $3 million. A lot of politics, they say. But you never know. And also the British F3, Carlos Sainz Jr., who I think is one of the best young talents in motor racing days. And if all the stars and dollar signs align, Mr. Brazier and myself will be at OP, Alton Park, again, to watch these boys in action. I'm looking very beautiful circuit, man. It's lush green and just like, I don't know if you've been to Lime Rock, Connecticut. It's the same setting. Lush green, beautiful.
I've only been to Lime Rock, Kentucky.
Is that right?
Yeah.
For the horse races?
Correct.
Cool. Okay, for this is very important, and this thing is also getting in some good talent. For those saving for open wheel racing in January, and there are quite a few people judging by comments on the forum, we would like to recommend a visit to www.toyotaracing.co.nz or NZ for New Zealand. Their season starts January 12th to 15th at Teretonga and will race for 5 consecutive weekends, so compact series. Felix Sirayas, we just mentioned him, he will also race in this series. Other drivers include Hannes van Asseldonk, a friend of F1 Weekly from the town of Bokel, Netherlands. He raced in the German F3 this year and finished very impressive in the top 5 in the Macau Grand Prix. Josh Hill is also taking part. Hill was world champion in 1996 with Renault Power. Do I need to mention the name?
You don't have to.
Yeah, okay. Lucas Auer of Austria, he won the 2011 JK Tyre Asia Series, which is the new name for what used to be Formula BMW Asia. His uncle was a Grand Prix driver and gave Benetton their first Grand Prix win in 1986, Mexico. And of course, Gerhard Berger is the name of the uncle. And he also gave Benetton their final Grand Prix win in Germania 11 years later. Also making her single-seater debut will be Miss Michaela Cerruti. Very easy on the eyes, Roman lady. Last year, she drove a pink Mercedes 2-3 in the Superstar Series, the Italian version of DTM. They have like Audi, Jaguar, and only V8 cars. So pretty impressive. Mount Kilimanjaro. Normally, we don't talk about Mount Kilimanjaro or Mount Rainier on Motorsports Mondial, but there's some news here. Mount Kilimanjaro is next on the agenda for Mr. Alexander Sims, a British racer in GP3 and Formula 3. And he will climb the mountain in Tanzania starting January 29, and it will take several days to raise money for Henry Surtees Foundation. Son of John Surtees was killed in an F2 race at Brands Hatch in 2009. So if anybody wants to donate on this program, they can go on the, I think it's the Virgin Donation website, but I'm sure they can Google also Alexander Sims, you know, work for John Surtees Foundation. And now a moment in Historia, as we look at the 80s from the 60th anniversary edition of Autosports magazine, courtesy of Dr. Mark Farrington, who recently celebrated his 30th birthday. So happy birthday, Doc. See you soon. Hopefully he'll make it to OP also. It'll be nice to have a big F1 Weekly Familia in the park at Orchard
Park. Am I invited to this, or?
Nobody's invited. You just have to show up.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I like it. Keep up the good work. We'll see.
You are invited to the U.S. Grand Prix yet. And, you know, I was talking to my buddy of mine. We used to work together in San Diego, Mr. Robert Schwartz. And he's planning to drive from San Diego to Austin, Texas. And I said, man, that's a very good idea.
Just one freeway, I-10.
Yeah, and it's just a very good way to see Southwest United States, just my favorite part of the country, as you know. New Mexico, Arizona, California, and of course, Amarillo, Texas. So I'm going to see how my vacation time at that time is. I might jump on that bandwagon.
I don't know. It's a nonstop flight from San Jose to Austin.
Really?
Yeah, with an in-flight burrito. Nasser, how...
With Tex-Mex flavor.
Yeah, I mean, that, there's nothing more...
Who flies nonstop from San Jose?
Southwest.
Nonstop?
Yeah.
Wow.
Southwest,
they're
your
not,
favorite.
They're not spots.
No assigned seating. Everybody just runs.
All leather seats, huh? Last time I flew.
Yeah?
Not very interesting.
There used to be an American, too.
Yeah?
An American flight direct, but I don't think that one... I don't think that one's still...
I think business. American just filed for bankruptcy, Stephen?
Yeah, I know.
I'm not flying on that flight. There are limits. Nasser?
See, this, now that they have filed BK, they don't offer any in-flight burritos. They have BK, you know, BK stuff, BK burgers, Burger King.
Oh, I see.
Double meaning. Always looking for a marketing angle, you know.
I understand.
Okay, so anyway, we're going to look at the 80s. Previously, we looked at the 50s, 60s, 70s, now 80s, final run. Alan Jones is the first world champion for Williams, and Lone Star JR, which would be Johnny Rutherford, wins the Indy 500 in a Chaparral, the only Chaparral victory at Indy. And this was the highlight of the 1980 season. What was the highlight of your 1980 season, if you recall?
I think it was the Members' new album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Members had their album. I think it was called Vote For Me in 1980.
Cool.
Remember the Members?
Never
heard
of them.
They were from England.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
They were just as good as the Buzzcocks.
Oh, cool. Not the Hollies?
No.
They had a bus stop.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go. 1981 saw first world championship for Nelson Piquet and first victory for Audi Quattro in Sweden. It also saw seventh and final win for the King, Richard Petty, in the Daytona 500. 1982, Nico Rosberg's dad, KK, wins the world championship with only one Grand Prix win for Williams. Sixth and final Le Mans win for Jackie Ickx. Tragedy of the season was at Zolder in practice for the Belgian Grand Prix when Gilles Villeneuve was killed. Later in the Canadian Grand Prix, Italian Riccardo Poletti was killed when his Osella crashed and caught fire after hitting the stationary car of pole sitter Didier Pironi. And I think we all know what happened to Pironi at Hockenheim, same season. That was a very, very bad season, all the things that were going on there. And I remember Gilles Villeneuve's death. And there was a fatality in the Indy qualifying also practice. There was a guy named Gordon Smiley from Garland, Texas. And they were within 2 weeks of each other. Very sad. And also in 1982, Mario Andretti started the Italian Grand Prix from pole position in his Ferrari 126C2. Enzo had invited him to replace Didier. And very pleased to say, moi was there to see him finished on the podium in third. That was my first ever Grand Prix, 19. I still have that, you know, like, I think it's from that company called ANSA. They make exhaust pipes and all that. I will have to, like you requested, you know, the other day, scan it and put it in the F1 Weekly website. The grid from 1982.
We have a scanner in the office, Nasser.
Okay, we shall dig it up and take care of this. 1983, Yellow Helmet wins Macau Grand Prix. Nelson Piquet Sr., that is the first turbocharged world champion with Brabham BMW, which was a very, very powerful four-cylinder engine. 1984, Mike Tackville from New Zealand, one of the mysteries of Formula One, wins the final Formula 2 championship. And of course, a few years ago, it was restarted again. But it's not the same. You know, in the glory days of Formula 2, a lot of Formula 1 drivers used to come and race. And what happened if you were a Formula 2 driver and you could spank a Formula 1 driver, that Formula 2 driver beating Formula 1, you get notice. And you know what happens when you get noticed by Ron and Luca and whoever was in charge in those days? Things happen. 1985, Alain Prost becomes the first French world champion and remains the only one so far. And I think Jean-Éric Vanne is the next French world. You know, this is the thing about motor racing, you know. Last 2, 3, 4 years, Jules Bianchi was doing a tremendous job winning pretty much every championship he was entering in, winning a lot of races, was highly successful in the 3 Euro Series, 2 years of GP2, third, both occasions, very good. And now, all of a sudden, from nowhere has appeared Jean-Éric Vanne. And he is pretty much the man of French motor racing right now, even over Romain Grosjean. So let's what happened. Let's see who will rattle whose cage. Vanne over Ricciardo or the other way around? We'll find out in about 4 or 5 races which way the wind is blowing.
I think we're going to find out in the first race.
No, first race, trust anything me. Can happen. But after 6 races in any series, you have a very good idea what's going on, you know. The cream rises to the top. May not, you know, first race you can have an engine kablam or, you know, tire fail, tire far. You never know. But we'll find out, and we shall report based on the facts. Okay, where are we now? And also in 1985, Arnaige takes his long-awaited first F1 victory in the European Grand Prix at Brands Hatch. 1986, tire far for Mansell in season finale gives back-to-back title to Prost. And I will never forget Alain Prost getting out of the car because he had no chance. So it was like the Raikkonen program in 2008. Or was it 2007? It was 2007.
His championship?
Yeah, Raikkonen 2007, right?
2007.
Yeah. It was like that. He had no chance. Mansell had this tire kablamo and then Pete spun out, blah, blah, blah. And Prost wins the race. He was like so surprised and, of course, very elated. So it was good for him. In 86, Austrian Joe Gartner was killed at Le Mans, and Finnish rally star Henri Toivonen and his co-driver from New York, Sergio Cresto, were killed in the crash of the Alessia Delta in the Corsica rally, which pretty much put an end to the Group B rally cars. And earlier in the year, they had won the Monte Carlo rally, which is like one of the premier events in the rallying world. 1987, Nelson Piquet, that man from Rio, wins his third and final world championship in a Williams Honda. 1988, Ayrton Senna from Sao Paulo wins the first of his 3 championships in a McLaren Honda. Jaguar wins at Le Mans, and future BBC and ITV commentator Martin Brundle wins the World Sports Car Championship. 1989, Prost is F1 champion. No more turbos in F1. Peter Sauber and his Mercedes team were the big winners at Le Mans. And David Coulthard wins the inaugural McLaren Autosport BRDC Award. So that's the information we have supplied in this beautiful 60th edition of Autosport magazine. Thank you to Dr. Farrington for handing this copy to you at Monza.
That was in 2010.
Whatever it was. and thank you for bringing it here so we can all enjoy it.
And still enjoying it.
Oh, it's beautiful, the pictures. I mean, for me, you know, when you turn back pages or pick up an old magazine 20 years ago, 25, and you remember that you bought it or you had it or whatever, it's just a lot of tears.
Of joy.
I'm on the Morris Albert program, feelings. But anyway, finally, we love motor racing and music, as we all know by now. While misery loves company, and here is Boss Skaggs giving Rubinho some company. Somebody long with that. I need to call my old time used to be. Somebody long me down. I need to call my old time used to be.
Thanks, Nas, for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Superb, I must say. Anyway, we'll go ahead and go right into the wrap-up. Calendars. Any calendar specifics today?
Well, if anybody is interested in ordering, please log on to f1weekly.com, merchandise page, click on it. You know you want to, and then we'll ship it to you by priority mail. If you're in the U.S. and if you're overseas, it's coming airmail. And thank you to all those who have done so.
Thank you, Nasser. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 12 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. San Francisco Formula One Group, SFF1.com. They get together, they eat, they drink, and watch Formula One during the season. Check them out if you want to. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, and Google Plus sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and click You Like Us. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email me at info@f1weekly.com. We are looking for a sponsor for the Motorsports Mondial segment. I hope everybody has had a great, great New Year's, and now it's time to get to work. Thanks for listening, and good night.
Bye now.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.